This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
We've talked a lot lately on the show about looming changes to the BC Land Act and the provincial government's move to joint decision making over Crown land tenures with BC First Nations. This is all part of the government's adoption of UNDRIP, which is the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People. If you take a look at the text of that UN declaration, it talks about how Indigenous peoples should have a prior informed consent over any development in their territories. And this has raised a lot of concern. We've talked about how this could affect land use in British Columbia, resource development, hunting, fishing, recreation rights on Crown land. I've talked to Nathan Cullen about it. He is the cabinet minister responsible for this, and he says, look, people should not worry here because this is actually going to make things better for everybody if we can get into agreements with First Nations that removes any uncertainty about land use or Indigenous rights. You could prevent the whole thing from ending up in court as we move forward together here as part of reconciliation. Okay, there's still a lot of concerns about it, though. The political opposition also raising concerns about this. Now, let's take a look at what's going on in the Sunshine Coast here now. The tension's rising there. There's a lot of residents there concerned about how proposed changes could work as it relates to private docks. So the province and the Sechelt First Nation negotiating a new dock management plan throughout the nation's traditional territory there. What kind of impact could this have on people who right now have docks, waterfront docks or boathouses there in the water on the Sunshine Coast? Let's discuss it with my guest now, Sean McAllister, Pender Harbor Residents Association. Very pleased to welcome him. Hey, Sean, thanks for coming on today.
Good morning, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I appreciate it a lot. Sean, what is the status of this issue right now? Like, what is happening there on the Sunshine Coast? I think a lot of people have heard about this. They might not know the details. What is happening there?
November 30th, the government brought out a new dock management plan and then gave us 3 weeks to respond to it. We've been able to ask them to extend the public engagement period until this Friday. So that's ongoing. But over a year ago, they notified us, the government did, that they were going to negotiate a Section 7 agreement under DRIPA with the Sechelt First Nation, and that we were named as one of the parties who would be consulted on on that agreement. And to date, there has been no consultation so far. And back in January of last year, we sent the government a letter asking about 22 questions and suggesting that those questions needed to be answered before they proceed. And we haven't received any answers to those questions yet. And I think what's really notable is that insofar as this Land Act amendments that they're talking about to enable these Section 7 agreements is that we are, as far as I know, the only area that a Section 7 agreement is being negotiated currently. And we have not been contacted by anyone from the minister's office to ask for our input input on these Land Act amendments. We've learned about the public engagement period just by happenstance. So we're sitting here waiting for them to tell us when they're ready to negotiate, when they want to consult us on the Section 7 agreement. So anyway, okay. We're kind of pattern. Sorry to go on.
No, I know. It's a complicated issue. And, you know, I think it's important for people to understand it fully. And so when we're talking about a docks management plan for the region, Sean, could you comment on that? Like, what kind of What are the concerns of residents up there who maybe have a houseboat or they have a boat dock there? How could this potentially be impacted? What are their worries?
Well, the first dock management plan came out almost 10 years ago, and right from the word go, it was not workable, and it hasn't worked for the last 9 years, and has created a lot of uncertainty and what have you. And we've been trying to get the government to turn the corner and to talk with the residents to work together to see if we can't come to a mutual decision on what the dock management plan should be. We've had one meeting in the last 10 years on that and meaningful consultation on that, and they've refused to do that, to meet again, until this recent amendment came through. So there's a lot of things that are going on these docks. They're just not workable. And I can go into the particulars of the dock issues, but the big thing that just recently came out is that they said they were going to enforce a ban on boathouses. So if you have a boathouse at the end of your dock and your tenure is coming up, they have indicated in a question and answer sheet that you'll have to remove it.
Okay. A boathouse is like a covered structure where you put your boat in there.
That's right.
Yeah.
And they're
saying
you'll have to remove it. And there are hundreds of them in Penner Harbor. And there are hundreds of them in the lakes, the freshwater lakes around here and on the Sunshine Coast. So you're talking hundreds of boathouses that will have to be removed.
Wow. And this would include freshwater and marine water, like saltwater docks.
It includes all lakes. And I think a key thing that everyone listening should know is that this boathouse ban for individual docks, it extends province-wide. So if you're listening to this in the central British Columbia, it applies to you now, and it will be enforced.
Hmm. Okay, speaking of Sean McAllender, Pender Harbor Residents Association, Sean, I did talk to the minister responsible about this on the show last week. I'll play a clip here for you, get your thoughts. So this is Nathan Cullen, Minister of Land and Water and Natural Resources. And I asked him about this, the concerns here of the residents on the Sunshine Coast about this. Here's what he had to say to me, and I'll get your thoughts.
We're working right now as we speak with Sechelle First Nation to come to a good resolution for everybody. That is the interest of the BC government. That is the interest of everybody, the local representatives, and on down the line. That's the work. This is the hard work of reconciliation, man. It's not for wimps, as somebody said. We will get that better. We will get it right.
Okay, we'll get it better. We'll get it right. He seemed to be suggesting that maybe it hasn't been done very well here, these consultations, but this is part of the reconciliation process here with First Nations. Sean, what would you say about that? Like, for people who are concerned about this, I mean, obviously, I think moving forward with reconciliation for First Nations is a good thing for everybody, right? Wouldn't you say so?
Oh, we're entirely in favor of reconciliation. It's just, what does that mean, right? Everybody. And everybody seems to have a different definition of that. But you'll note that Minister Cullen says he's working hard with the Sechelle Nation. He's not working hard with my association, and we're one of the people that they named to negotiate with on these Section 7 agreements. So why aren't they working hard with us on this?
Yeah. Has this produced any kind of bitterness in the community? Like, I've heard some people talk about, well, you know, we don't want to get any people really upset, angry, any kind of threats, racism, anything like that going on. Are you concerned that the uncertainty here is just putting people on edge?
Well, certainly there's always fringes of each community that are going to fly off the rails at things, right? We're committed to being respectful to everyone that we talk to and to try to work together. And I think really the government and perhaps the Sechelle have missed an opportunity to work with the residents here in Prender Harbor to come up with a plan that works for everybody, that protects the archaeological and the environmental resources that we want to protect, and that also allows for use of waterfront property and boats and docks and lets us enjoy the outdoors here. So I think there's a missed opportunity here for us to work together.
Yeah. Do you think that this is, and we've talked a lot here recently about the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People, the changes to the Land Act, co-decision-making, joint decision-making over the land with BC First Nations, and the concern around it. The government is really trying to reassure people that, look, this is going to make things better. This is going to actually create more certainty as we go forward. When you take a look at what's going on there on the Sunshine Coast, are you concerned that maybe it won't create that kind of certainty that everybody wants? Like, is your main concern that you've been left out of the talks or you haven't been adequately consulted?
Well, we've clearly been left out of the talks. Quite frankly, every dock application here is an individual application. And if this Section 7 agreement gets put into place, it will give the First Nation a veto over whether you get a new tenure on your property. So how does that create certainty?
Okay. Of course, the government keeps saying they are not giving First Nations a veto over these type of decisions, right? You're not buying that?
No, that's semantics, and everybody should get a copy of the Declarations Act and read Section 7. And basically, it's these Section 7 agreements either authorize joint decision-making or prior consent. Well, we all know what prior consent means, and we should all know how a joint bank account works. If you sign a check and your wife won't sign it, it doesn't get cashed.
Yeah.
So you don't may not want to call it a veto, but that's essentially what it is.
Yeah. Have you, speaking of Sean McAllister, Pender Harbor Residents Association, talking about some of the concerns over docks, boathouses on the Sunshine Coast here, have you tried approaching the Sechelt First Nation, their leadership there, and say, look, why don't we all sit down and talk this out?
Yes, we have on numerous occasions over the years, and we haven't been successful in getting a meeting. So I don't want to say any more than that, but we certainly have tried. And we've met with the Sechelt Nation on a casual basis, but not anything structured like is so as to talk about these kinds of things.
Right. So what would you like to see done here? I mean, what's your message to the government here? If the minister is listening right now, we may be, what would you say to him?
Well, I'd like to get him to involve the people that are most affected by these decisions, and and he should be involving the dock owners. I mean, and I just want, this isn't really just about docks. I mean, this is just the thin edge of the wedge here. This is going to expand into other things, and this to give the a Section 7 agreement over dock applications is totally different than the government and First Nation and a mining company sitting around and figuring out how they're going to divvy up the pie. This dock thing for all of the Sunshine Coast is totally different, and it creates a lot of uncertainty and that's really a lot of fear in the citizens here.
Yeah, I remember when I was speaking to Nathan Cullen about these concerns that have been raised, and we talked about existing public access to land. I suppose this could extend to waterfront access as well. And whether people should be concerned about that. Like if they have access right now to go into areas for whatever it might be, boating, hunting, fishing, prospecting, snowmobiling, ATV off-roading. I mean, you name it. There are lots of different ways that the people of BC enjoy the public splendor that we have here. And I asked him if any of that will change. Does this threaten any kind of public access that is enjoyed right now in British Columbia? Will that change in the future here as we move to this joint decision making? Here's what he told me, and I want to get your thoughts here. So this is Nathan Cullen speaking to me last week.
If these amendments were to come into place, the next morning, all of that access would remain for people to recreate, for people to hunt and fish, of course, under the rules that we have for hunting and fishing that exist already, timing and whatnot. But that the access that people enjoy in this province right now continue. The Land Act amendments we are proposing do not affect those issues at all.
Okay, so he's talking about the Land Act changes there. And I'm just wondering, when you hear him say, try to reassure people that, look, the access you have right now is not under threat here. That'll continue. What do you think? Does that reassure you at all? Because it sounds like the access that you guys have right now for waterfront boating and a boathouse, it sounds like that is being questioned now.
Right. Well, the minister is technically correct that firstly, the government hasn't told us what the amendments are. They've asked us to comment on amendments that have not yet even been disclosed to anybody. They're saying, what do you think? So that's the first problem. The second thing is, if I understand the amendments correctly, he's technically correct that tomorrow nothing will change. But what it does is it sets the table and then allows the government to enter into negotiations with First Nations that will impact your ability to go into the forest or use our natural resources, et cetera, et cetera. So he's technically correct, but he's not being terribly candid with us.
All right. We're following it closely, to say the least. John, thank you for coming on to speak about it today.
Okay, well, thanks very much for letting me be on your show. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome. Sean McAllister there, Pender Harbor Residents Association.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.